Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Chulin daf Yud Tes. We left off Yud Chesam at Beis, probably about 6-7 lines before the lines get wide toward the bottom of the Yamud. Today's discussion is going to focus mainly on the Inyan of Hagrama, which we began discussing yesterday. That's the hyper-technical sugya of where exactly along the Beis HaShechita one is able to shecht. We had seen that one is not able to shecht either below or above a certain point of the Beis HaShechita. We have to shecht in between the lines. And we saw there was a machlokas yesterday between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the entire Shechita has to take place within the lines, or if only Rov of the Shechita has to take place within the lines. And once you get Rov in the proper place, we're going to apply the principle of Rubo Kekula. We also saw the Shechita of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus yesterday, who thought that the Shechita was kosher in a place that was above the uppermost place, that either Rabbi or Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would have said was kosher. So we're going to continue today along the discussion of Hagrama. We're going to get to a Mishnah in the middle of Yutas and Mabez, and that Mishnah is going to start a discussion of the differences between Shechita, which is what's performed on an animal, of course, and Malika, which is the procedure that's performed on a bird, but only in the Beis HaMikdash. So even if you would eat a bird outside the Beis HaMikdash, obviously you would shecht the bird like you would shecht an animal. You would never do a malika. In fact, if you were to do a malika on a bird that you wanted to eat outside the Beis HaMikdash, you would make the bird a nevela, because that's obviously a way of killing the bird. It is not a way of shechting the bird. We're going to see in the Mishnah the distinctions between the process and the procedure for Shechita and the process and the procedure for malika. So we will start, it is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the wide lines, Yud Ches Amud Beis. First word on the line is Amar Lei. We're going to start from the third to last word on the line, which is Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakesh, Achsher Bechuda Dekuva. He was Machsher Eshchita that was done at what's translated as the point of the helmet. So if you recall yesterday, we referred to the diagram that was in the art scroll that showed us the various rings of cartilage that went around the trachea, but not entirely. And then on top was a large ring of cartilage that went fully around the trachea. That's what's called the Tabas Gedola, the great ring. And we said that everybody says the Shechita is kosher there, with the machlokas being that the Rabbanan say the entire Shechita needs to be there, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda saying that most of the Shechita needs to be there. And then on top of that, there was this sort of thing that came to a point that was called the helmet, or it's called the kova, and art scroll translated it as the helmet. And then there was a slanty part that was translated as the slant of the helmet, or the shipui kova. What we have to know for our purposes is that all of this, anatomically, was above the great ring. So it's even higher on the trachea, higher on the neck of the animal than whatever we were discussing yesterday. And Reish Lakesh was Machshir Eshchita that was done even at that high point on the trachea. Karele, Rabbi Yochanan Gisa Gisa. And Rabbi Yochanan said, too much, too much. In other words, we're already letting you go this high on the trachea, but if you're going to go even higher on the Shipui Kova, that's already going to be too much. That's already outside the lines. You're not allowed a shecht there. Some Rapapi Mishmei de Rava, said Rapapi in the name of Rava, Paga Bechiti, if the Shochet touches the Chiti, what's called the Chiti, Chiti literally mean kernels, obviously it doesn't mean kernels here. Chiti is referring to, Rashi says, glands. Domen lechitin umenochen alakana etzel akova. So there are certain glands that are on the trachea that are higher on the trachea than the tabas gedola. They're right near the kova. They're right near what the art scroll translated as the helmet, all the way at the top of the trachea. Meaning, you're doing the shechita at a point in the trachea or at a point on the trachea that's very high. So what we have is Rapapi Mishmei de Rava saying that paga bechiti trefa, that if you encounter the chiti, if you encounter those glands when you're shechting, the animal's a trefa because you're shechting outside the lines. It's too high. So Ibailu, so they ask the following. Paga v'naga behem, does it mean, when we say paga, that you're encountering the chiti, what does it mean? Does it mean actually that the knife is touching the chiti when you're shechting? And paga means that you're actually touching them. D'chsev vayifka bo vayamos, because it says in the pasuk, by Shlomo, it says Vayifka, that he encountered and he killed him. And obviously the only way to kill somebody if you encounter them is if you touch them. So when you say Paga Bechiti, it means actually that the knife touches them. Odilma Paga Velo Naga, or maybe it means Paga Velo Naga, that you were in the vicinity of the Chiti, but you never actually touched the Chiti. Like it says in the Parsha we had a couple of weeks ago, it says that the Malachim of Hashem encountered them. It doesn't mean that they actually touched them. You know, the Malach doesn't touch anybody. It means that you encounter them. So does it mean encountering with a touch or encountering without a touch? So Itmar, so says the Gemara as follows. If you leave over a part of the Chiti, then that is going to be kosher. And Rashi says, obviously, if what we're talking about is shir b'chiti, that you're in the area of the chiti, and some of the shechita is in that area, but shir b'chiti, but you also leave over some of the chiti without slicing all the way through them, obviously, when we say paga, it means that you're touching them, because the only way to leave over a part of the chiti is if you're touching the other part of the chiti. So obviously that's what we mean, that it means paga v'naga. So says the Gemara, Amara Papa Mishmei Derava, Shir B'chiti Ksheira. Good. Amarava Meimar, Barmar Yinuka, Havi Koimna Kamei Derav Chia B'rei Derav Avia, that I was sitting in front of Rav Chia B'rei Derav Avia, Barmarli, and he said to me, Shir B'chiti Ksheira, that if you leave over some of the chiti, it's kosher, meaning so long as not all of the shechita is done through the chiti, it's enough. But when we say paga b'chiti, when we talk about paga b'chiti, we're talking obviously where you are encountering them and you're touching them. So Amar Le Ravina Le Ravashi, Amar Le Rav Shamein Misuvra Ikla Marzutra La Asrin Vidaresh. So Marzutra came to our town and he was Doresh Shir b'chiti Kshera, that if you leave over some of the chiti, it is kosher. Mar Baravashi Amar paga b'chiti Kshera. Shir b'chiti treif. However, Mar Baravashi says, no, if you're just in the vicinity of the chiti, then that's going to be fine. But if you're shir b'chiti, meaning that you're actually cutting through that what we're calling the kernels, the chiti, then that is going to render the animal a treifa. Why? Because Mar Baravashi obviously holds that the makam of the chiti is not a makam shechita. That's not a valid place to shecht. And therefore, if it's only paga b'chiti, if you're only in the vicinity of that place, but you're a little bit below, you're a little bit beneath it on the trachea, that's going to be fine. But if you're shechting mamish through the chiti, that's already above the base hashechita. That is not going to be okay. Says the Gemara, turning over to Yotah Siman Aleph, Ilchasa Nalach is Mishipui Kova Lomata, anywhere from what we call the Shipui Kova, the slant of the helmet, and below Kshera, that's kosher. V'ayinu the Shir B'chiti, and that's consistent with the Mian D'Yomer who held that Shir B'chiti is kosher. Why? Because we said again that these chiti, these kernels, are right beneath the Shipui Kova, and therefore, if we're this Mian D'Yomer is going to hold, or if the halacha that we're being told in the Gemara is that anything beneath the Shipui Kova is going to be kosher, it means even if you were Shir B'chiti, if you were in that area and shechting, it's going to be kosher. Rav Nachman Achshir Mishipui Kova Lamata. Rav Nachman, again, consistent with this halacha, was Machshir Rashkita, that was anywhere beneath the Shipui Kova. Samarle Rav Chanan Bar Rav Katina, Rav Nachman, come on. Who's this going like? Lo k'rav banam, v'lo k'rav Yosi b'rav Yuda. It's not going like the Chachamim, it's not going like Rav Yosi b'rav Yuda, because Rav Yosi and Rav Yuda and the Chachamim both said that the uppermost place for Shechita is the Tabas Gedola, is that great ring of cartilage. The only machlokas among them being that the Rabbanan said the entire Shechita had to be there, and Rav Yosi b'rav Yuda said that only most of the Shechita had to be there. So long as most of the incision was there, even if you went a little bit above with the last part of the incision, that's going to be fine. But both of them say that the highest place in the Beis HaShechita is the Tabas Gedola. None of them say that you're allowed to be even above the Tabas Gedola, anywhere beneath the Shipui Kova. So says the Gemara, Amar Le Ana Lo Chilek Yedana Velo Bilek Yedana. I don't know Chilek, I don't know Bilek. What does this mean? So Rashi goes through some interpretation that Chilek and Bilek are actually a reference to the Chachamim and Rav Yosi b'Rav Yuda. And then Rashi at the end says, nah, maybe where Chilek and Bilek is a figure of speech. In other words, it's like saying, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I don't have to go like Rav Yuda. I don't have to go like Rav Yosef. Anush, like Rav Yosi b'Rav Yuda. Anush Shmaitzi Adana. I know a brisas. In other words, I am basing my view on a brisa. And Rashi points out, Shmaitza damaroya dano, damachshir ilamala minatabas, because there are some amoroim who are machshir shchita, even if it's above the tabas gedola, uvavad shiya mishipui kova lamata, so long as it's beneath the shipui kova. Vahani amaroy samchi ad Rabbi Chanina ben Antigone, shachalak al Rebbe v'Rabbi Yossi, umachshir mugremes tatu. And these amaroim are relying on the sheet of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigone that we saw yesterday, that he holds that the Mokam HaShchita is even higher than the Tabas Gedola. So when I am Machshir anything, any Shchita that's below the Shipui Kova, I'm basing my Shchita on Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. So the Amar, and what's the Braisa? The Amar Rav Chia bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Says Rav Chia bar Abba in the name of Rav Yochanan, Rami lo Amar Rav Abba bar Zavda Amar Rav Chanina, Rami lo Amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. A whole bunch of rabbis said, Mishipui Kova Lamata, anywhere, for any place from the slant of the helmet and below, Kshera, it's kosher. So Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Now Rav Yeshua ben Levi says as follows, Megremes the Rabbanan, something that the Rabbanan call Hagrama, meaning that most of the cut, most of the incision was in the Tabas Gedola, but a part of the incision was above the Tabas Gedola. So that which the Rabbanan say is Hagrama, Kshera l'Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda is going to say that's kosher, because again, according to Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, so long as the majority of the incision is in that place, the Shechita is going to be valid. And furthermore, with Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, Kshera l'Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, with Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, and that which Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda holds is Hagrama, meaning that less than half of the Shechita, less than rov of the Shechita was in the Tabas Gedola, and more than half of the Shechita was above the Tabas Gedola, that would be Kshera the Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. That's going to be kosher according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, again, who held that the Mokam HaShchita was higher than the Tabas Gedola. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Okay, so you're telling me, this is not a Chiddush, you're reciting to me the three Shitas that we've been discussing for the past day in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, no. Mal de Tamer Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus ad Rabbanan kai. I might think that Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is only going on the Shita of the Rabbanan, but not on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Yehuda. Kamash Malan, that he's even being makil on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Yehuda. Veima Chanami, well, maybe Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is only being makil on the Shita of the Rabbanan, but maybe he's not being makil on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi b'Rav Yehuda. Zim Kain, Heyed Alea mi Boile. If that were the case, then it should have said, Heyed Alea. And Rashi points out, Mashma astama de la elmine koi, diktani magremes psula, the Rabbanani, it's the Rashita of the Rabbanan who said, period, full stop, that magremes is pasul, and hey, ole, Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, that on the Shita of the Rabbanan, know that you could go even a little bit higher. But says Rashi, yumidahadar venokad al magremes, shma mina tarvayu. From the fact that Rav Chanina ben Antigonus says that Mugremes is Kshera and doesn't simply say Hey Aleh, it says a new halacha, a new statement that Mugremes is Kshera, that means Rav Chanina ben Antigonus means to say that whatever any of the prior shitas hold is Mugremes, according to Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, it's going to be kosher. So even according to Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, who holds that by Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, the only thing that's Mugremes is if most of the Shechita was above the Tabas Gedola, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, even that Mugremes is Kshera, even that Mugremes, even if something is totally above the Tabas Gedola, that's going to be a Kasher Shechita. Says the Gemara, Psak Halacha v'Hilchasa, Vilchasa k'Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, and the Halacha is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, t'kai Rav Nachman kavasei, because Rav Nachman holds like him. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to talk about when we say Agrama, when we talk about Rove of the Shechita being in the Beis HaShechita, according to Rav Yossi b'Rav Yehuda, which part of the Shechita are we talking about? Are we talking about that you start off entirely in the lines and then it's only at the end that you veer higher and you're going outside the lines? What if you start above the Makam HaShechita and then you go down into the Makam HaShechita and then you go out again of the Makam HaShechita? So we're going to see all of this. So says the Gemara as follows. The machlokas is when the first two-thirds of the shechita is done in the Beis HaShechita, and then the hagrama, the coloring outside the lines, that's done in the last third. The Rabbanan Savri Kula Shchita Bina Metabas Gedola. The Rabbanan say that you require the entire Shchita in the Tabas Gedola. Rav Yosef Savar Ruba Kekulo. And Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says that Ruba Kekulo, so long as the first two-thirds is in the Makam HaShchita, it's fine. We don't care that you cut outside the lines in the last third. Aval Higrim Shlish V'Shachat Shnei Shlish. However, if you started outside the lines, so first you had the agrama of a third, and then two-thirds of the shechita was inside the lines, divriya kol psula, that everybody will hold that that is puzzle. Why? The chinafki chiyusa bina ruba b'shechita v'leka. Because when the life of the animal is taken away, we need rove of that to be b'shechita, and we don't have that. Now, when is the life of the animal taken away? The life of the animal is taken away once you cut the rove simen. So if the first third of the shechita is outside the lines, is in a puzzle of place, and the second third and the third third are inside the lines, but at the 50% mark, the animal is going to lose its life. At the 50% mark, you don't yet have the shechita contributing in a rove manner to that 50%. Because of the 50%, the first 33% is puzzle, and it's only the remaining 17% that is going to be in a makam shechita, and you need rove of shechita at the time the animal's life departs it v'lek, and you don't have that. So says the Gemara. So Amar le Rav Chista adaraba. Maybe I would think just the opposite. Lema mar ifcha. Let's say the opposite. Machlokas kishehigrim shlish v'shachas shnei shlish. The machlokas is only where first you started outside the lines and then you went inside for the last two thirds. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Savar Midi Davi Achatzi Kanapagam. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda says that it's as if he found half of the kane pagam. So what does that mean? So Rashi points out what we're talking about is that if the guy's doing a shechita on an animal, and it turns out that half of the trachea of the animal is just missing. So 50% of the trachea of the animal is missing. So it turns out when you're doing the shechita, if you slide the knife along the animal's trachea, so the first 50%, there is no trachea there, and then you slice a little bit in the second 50%, that's going to be a kasher shechita. How's that going to be a kasher shechita? You're not contributing to rove of the animal's death with the shechita. You're only doing a teeny tiny bit. And Rashi points out, v'yafagav deki nafka chiyusa lav ruba b'shechita, even though when the animal loses its life, it's not rove b'shechita. Most of the trachea is not there because anatomically, that's the way this animal is living right now. So you're only contributing a tiny bit and that's enough. And therefore, Rashi points out that this type of hagrama should be no worse than if the kane is lacking. And so even if there's only a little bit of the shechita that's contributed to the animal's death at the time of death, it should be enough. And the Rabbanan say, no, that's not a valid comparison. Hasam makam shechita. Hacha lav makam shechita. Over there, you're shechting, you're doing everything in the base hashechita. It just happens to be that part of the animal's trachea is missing. So if part of the animal's trachea is missing, we're going to say as long as you slice the knife along the rest of the trachea, even a kol shu, that's going to be okay. But if here, you're not even in the makam hashechita, you're starting outside the makam hashechita, then you're going in, and that's not going to be a sanctionable shechita, that's not going to be kosher. So maybe the machlokas is only where you start off outside the base hashechita, then you go in. But if you would start inside the lines and do the first two-thirds inside the lines and the last third outside the lines, everybody else is going to be kosher. Dotnan rubo shalechad kamo. Because we know that rubo shalechad kamo. Rashi says that's our sugya's way of saying rubo kukulo. So stretching two-thirds in the lines is going to be enough. Samarle Rav Yosef, man name alone dahu ruba dahasam lav Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda ktanila. Dilma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda ktanila. Hang on a second. How are you now telling me that if I start off inside the lines two-thirds and then I go outside the lines, everybody says that's kosher because rubo kukulo? The concept of rubo kukulo is the concept that we had been introduced to in our sugya as being the shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So don't tell me now everybody's going to agree it's kosher because rubo kukulo is a shas concept and everybody holds by it. In our sugya, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is the one who says it's rubo kukulo. So it's only Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda who would say that if he started off the first two-thirds in the makam hashechita and the last third outside the makam hashechita, it's going to be kosher. The Rabbanan wouldn't necessarily agree with that. So says the Gemara, Amar Le Abaye, the last skinny line. So also call Ruba the Alma, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Ktanilu. So every time we say Ruba Kakulo, it's Dafka the Shita, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. That doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara, no. Amar Le, I know Ruba the Shita, Kamnin the Shamana Lu the Pligi. I'm only talking about the concept of Rov, Legabe Shchita. Why? Because we have expressly the Rabbanan arguing on Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda in our sugya. So Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda is the only one in our sugya who's saying that Ruba Kakulo. So don't tell me that if I start off 2/3 in the lines and then I go outside the lines, everybody's going to agree it's kosher because Ruba Kakulo. No, the only man Amar holds Ruba Kakulo in our sugya is Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. Lishnach Rini, another Lashon. So, but same idea. So Amar Le, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav. The machlokes is only when you started off outside the lines and then you shechted the last 2/3 inside the lines. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda says that's no worse than if you started the shechita and part of the trachea was missing, so long as you're contributing a little bit to the animal's death with the shechita, that's going to be enough. And the Rabbanan say, no, the situations are not comparable, because at least where it's chatzi kana pagim, you were shechting in the Beis HaShechita. Here you're shechting outside the Beis HaShechita. Aval shachat shnei shlish v'igrim shlish divriya kol ksheira. But if you were starting off inside the Beis HaShechita and you did 2/3 of the shechita there, and then you did a hagrama, the last 3rd outside the Beis HaShechita, everybody agrees that's kosher. Tatnan rubo shalechad kamo, because that's the concept of rubo kukulo. And now we have it as a kasha. Maskef la Rav Chista, man lemelon dahu ruba da'asam lav Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda ktanila, dilma Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda ktanila. How do you know that that rubo kukulo is the shita of a divrei akol? Maybe that's only the shita of Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, but not the Rabbanan. Amar Le Rav Yosef, Atukul Ruba the Alma Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Ktanilu. Why would you assume that that Shita of Rov is only Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? Is he the only man the Amar in all of Shas who holds Ruba Kukulo? And Amar Le, I know Ruba the Shchita Kamina, the Shamanalu de Pligi. Well, yes, so he's the only one in our Sugi who holds Ruba Kukulo, because, yeah, ordinarily Ruba Kukulo is a Shas topic. Whether Ruba Kukulo is the halacha by Hagrama, that's the machlokas, Beferish machlokas of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. So don't tell me that if you started off doing 2/3 of the Shechita inside the lines and then you went above, that that's going to be kosher l'divrei hakol. No, that's totally on the machlokas that we had in our sugi yesterday on Daf Yud Ches, whether we hold like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says Ruba Kukulo by Shechita, or we hold like the Rabbanan who don't hold of Ruba Kukulo by Shechita. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to get fancier. So Higrim Shlish, V'shacha Shlish, V'Higrim Shlish. Let's say the guy started off outside the Beis HaShechita, then he went down into the Beis HaShechita, and then he went above outside the Beis HaShechita again. So it's a drunk shochet who's shechting. So Ravuna Amarav Sheira, Ravuna Amarav Trefer. Ravuna Amarav says in the name, says Ravuna says in the name of Rav it's kosher, and Ravuna says in the name of Rav that's going to be a trefa. Ravuna Amarav Sheira, Ravuna Amarav says it's kosher. Why? Because kinafka chayusa b'shechita kanafka. Because over here we have a different concept. Until now, we've been focused on whether Rove of the Shechita is in the Beis HaShechita or not. Now we're being introduced to the concept of, at the time the animal loses its life, the act that causes the animal to die, are you in the Beis HaShechita at that moment or not? And what did we say? We said earlier that the animal dies when half of the trachea is severed. So the half of the trachea, that midpoint is obviously reached in the middle third. And therefore, even if you started off outside the lines, and you ended off outside the lines, so long as in the middle third you're inside the lines, the animal lost its life when you were in the Beis HaShechita, that was going to be good enough. That is the Shita of Rav Huna. And however, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Marav says, Trefa, why? Be'inan Ruba B'Shechita V'Leka. Because it doesn't matter necessarily whether you were in the Beis HaShechita at the moment the animal lost its life. That's not enough. You need rove of the Shechita to be in the Beis HaShechita, and we don't have that here. Therefore, the animal is going to be a trefa. Says the Gemara now, how about the following? Shachat Shlish, V'Higrim Shlish, V'Shachat Shlish. How about the opposite case? Let's say you started off in the Beis HaShechita, then you went outside the Beis HaShechita for the middle third, and then you go back in the Beis HaShechita for the final third. Now what's the halacha? So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kshera. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says it's going to be kosher. And also Shaili LeRav Huna Amar Rav Treifa. And Rav Huna Amar Rav says it's a treifa. Why? Because remember that Rav Huna Amar Rav is the one who says that you need to be in the Beis HaShechita when the animal loses its life. And the animal loses its life in the middle third of the Shechita. So if he started off in the Beis HaShechita and then went outside the Beis HaShechita and then went in the Beis HaShechita again, it's nice that the rove was in the Beis HaShechita, but the moment when the animal lost its life, you were outside the Beis HaShechita, that's going to be disqualifying. The Shema Rav Yehuda, so anyway, Rav Yehuda heard that Rav Huna said the animal's a treifa, and ikbid, and he was makbid, he took offense. And number tarifno makshur, makshar na tarif. We're having this machlokas now, if what happens, one third. Every time I say kosher, you say it's treifa. Every time I say it's treifa, you say it's kosher. Let's get on the same page. So it says the Gemara, so I'm Rav Huna, Shaper ka makbid. So Rav Huna says, you know what? He's right to be makbid. I mean, Rav Yehuda's right to be makbid, makbid with me. Why? Chada yu shamiyale minem Rav v'analo shamiyale. One, first of all, we're both citing Rav. But Rav Yehuda heard it from Rav personally. I never heard it from Rav personally. So we have reason to believe that his statement is a little bit more accurate. His account is a little bit more accurate. The Yod, Ikaruba, Beshchita. And also, because according to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, he's more focused on whether Rove of the Shechita is in the Makam HaShechita, which makes sense. So Amar Rav Chissa, Rav Chissa said to Rav Huna, Lo Tehadarbach, do not retract your position. Why? Dim Kain Mafsadata La Kamaisa. Because if you retract your position, then you're going to lose the first statement. What's the first statement? The first statement was in the case where you started off outside the lines, and then in the middle third you were inside the lines, and then you again went outside the lines. And Rav Huna Amar Rav said that that was kosher. Why? Because at the time the animal lost its life, you were in the Beis HaShechita. The second statement was where you started off inside the lines, then you went outside the lines, and then you went back inside the lines. And we are reading it quickly, but if you look at what it, says over here, is it just says Rav Huna Amar Lahu, and that Rav Huna said it's a treifa. So in the second case, Rav Huna didn't quote Rav. Only in the first case he quoted Rav. In the second case he didn't quote Rav. But Rav Huna Shita is obviously everything is dependent on where you were when the animal lost its life. If you were in the Beis HaShechita, it's kosher. If you're outside the Beis HaShechita, it's going to be pasul. Rav Huna wanted to retract his Shita, but Rav Chissa said, "Don't retract your Shita, because if you retract your Shita, if you retract your Shita and you focus on Rov, then you're going to have to give up what you told me in the first case, where you started off outside the lines, then you went inside the lines, then you went outside the lines. You said that's kosher because when the animal lost its life, you were in the Beis HaShechita, but in the first case, you were quoting Rav. So you have a Mesorah from Rav, so you can't back away from your Shita because then you're going to be Mafsid Kamaisa. You're going to be Mafsid, the first statement that you told us, and that one you heard from Rav himself, and you're not able to retract that. So it says the Gemara, let's try to reconcile them intellectually. Hasa my time at Kamacharta over there. Why were you machsharit tchinafka kiyusa bechshera kanafka? Because when the animal lost its life, you were in a makom kosher. You were in the Beis HaShechita. Hachanami kinafka kiyusa bagrama kanafka. But now over here, when the animal loses its life, the animal is losing its life when you are in the place of agrama, in other words, when you're outside the Beis HaShechita. So in other words, what he's saying is, you could be perfectly intellectually honest withholding what you held, and yes, every time Rav Yehuda's machshir, you say it's a treifa, every time you say it's a treifa, he says it's kosher, because you guys are focused on different things. He's focused on where Rov of the Shechita is. You're focused on, were you in the kosher place, were you in the Beis HaShechita at the moment the animal lost its life? That's what you're focused on. Okay, says the Gemara now, four lines down from the top. So Ikla Rav Nachman Lesura. So Rav Nachman came to Sura. Boy mine, shochat shlish, vehigrim shlish, veshochat shlish. Mahu. What happens if you started off in the Beis HaShechita, then you went outside the lines, then you went back inside the lines, but the middle third was outside? So what's the case? So Amar Lahu, Lav Haina de Rav Elazar bar Ben Yumi. Isn't this the case of Rav Elazar bar Ben Yumi? Damar Rav Elazar bar Ben Yumi, that Rav Elazar bar Ben Yumi says, Shechita Ayesuya Kemisarek Kshera, the Shechita which is shaped like a comb, like the teeth of a comb, meaning that it's very jagged, so that's going to be kosher. So isn't that the case? Says the Gemara, no. V'dilma b'makam shchita. So maybe the only time a jagged shchita is kosher is only when the entire shchita is in the makam shchita. Then if you're totally in the base of shchita, then it could be a little bit of a jagged incision. But this doesn't necessarily teach me that if I go outside the lines in the middle third, that that's going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, b'makam shchita, my lememra. However, b'makam shchita, what's the chiddush over there? So if you're all in the makam shchita, of course it's going to be fine. So says the Gemara like this. I might think that you need a clear shchita. In other words, you need a clean incision. Kamash malan, you do not need a clean incision. But maybe the idea of shechting like the teeth of a comb, that's only if you're in the base of shechita. Maybe that's no raya to what happens if you're going outside the lines for the middle third. So Yosef Rav Abba, Chorei de Rav Kana, V'Yosef Rav Kana, Kamei de Rav Yehuda, V'Yosef V'Kamar. So he said like this, Shachat Shlish, V'Igrim Shlish, V'Shachat Shlish, Mahu, Amarlei, Shechita Sokshera. He said that the shechita is going to be kosher. Why? Because Rove of the shechita was in the base of shechita, and Rav Yehuda is not makbid on where you were in the middle third when the animal lost its life. We're makbid only on where Rove of the shechita was. Vigrim shlish, v'shachat shlish, vigrim shlish, mahu, amarlei, shechita so psula. The shechita is going to be pasul. Why? Again, because he's not makbid on, he doesn't focus on where you were in the middle third. He focuses on where you were for the majority. And if the majority is outside the base of shechita, it's going to be a pasul shechita.
If you had one third, isn't the rove outside? You had one third, then one third, then the rove is outside.
Yeah, the rove is outside, right. So he's not, and that's what we said. So that's because he's not focused on where you were.
If you did one third outside and one third inside, it would be possible, even though at the moment of the when it loses its life, it's inside.
If you go outside for the last third.
No. The first third is outside. The second third is inside.
Yeah, where are you for the third third?
And that's where it lost its life.
Right.
But most of it was outside, because at the point of death, it was one third outside and just a drop was inside. So the majority was outside when it lost its life.
Yeah, so that's going to be puzzle. That's going to be puzzle because you focus on where you are for the rove and not where you are at the moment when it loses its life.
Either E or B.
Right. Correct. So says the Gemara now. Says the Gemara now. Vayter. First wide line. Shachat b'makom nekev mahu. So let's say the animal has a hole in its trachea, and you're shechting at the place where the animal has a hole in its trachea. What's the halacha? Amarle shechita so ksheira. Says the shechita is going to be kosher. Shachat upagabo nekev. Now let's say that you start the shechita and then you're sliding the knife along the trachea and then you reach a point where there's a hole in the trachea. What's the halacha then? Amarle shechita so psula. The shechita is going to be pasul. We're going to have to figure out why exactly the halacha would be different in these cases. So also Ravami, Amra Kamed Rav Elazar, and Azul Rav Elazar, Amar Kamed Rav Yochanan. So all the rabbis were asking Rav Yochanan, Samarlei, Maishna, what's the difference whether you start the shechita, whether you're shechting initially in a place where there's a hole, and then you start cutting the trachea, or if you initially start cutting the trachea, and then ultimately you reach a place where there's a hole. Either way, you're slicing the trachea, you're in the makam shechita, and part of the trachea is it being subject to your shechita, and part of it is simply not there because there's a hole in the animal's trachea. So what's the difference? So says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan explained like this. If you're shechting in the place where there's a hole, and then ultimately you get to the trachea and you cut it, it's as if the shechita was began by an Oved Kochavim, by an Akum, and it doesn't literally mean an Akum, but it's you weren't doing the shechita initially because you were simply moving the knife in a place where there were was already a hole in the trachea, but Yisrael finished the shechita, shachatu pagabo nekev. However, if you started slicing the trachea manually and then you reached a point where there was a hole in the trachea and that's what caused the whole trachea to be sliced, nasa kamisha shachi Yisrael v'gomar avikachavim. It's as if the Yisrael started the shechita and the avikachavim finished the shechita, therefore it's going to be a pasul shechita. Zakari Aleh, so he called, so he said in response, Ovid Kachovim, Ovid Kachovim, Ovid Kachovim, Ovid Kachovim. Rashi points out, Lo Shekhaya Kori Lo Ovid Kachovim. It's not that he was calling Rav Yochanan Ovid Kachovim, Elo Ligil Galav, Ovid Kachovim, Ovid Kachovim, Klomar. In other words, he was laughing at him. He was mocking him by saying, Ovid Kachovim, Ovid Kachovim, Klomar, Beshchitas, Ovid Kachovim, Ata Tola Tamcha. Are you really being Tola? You're reasoning on the sheet, on the Shchitas, Ovid Kachovim? Bechol Yom, Ata Yochalom, Ovid Kachovim, Ovid Kachovim, Vena Tomim Domim, Kedavafarish Rava. You could tell me from today until tomorrow that if I shecht in a place where there's a hole in a trachea, it's like a shechitas ovei kachavim, but the two are not comparable at all. Some are Rava, and Rava says, Shaper Kariyale ovei kachavim, ovei kachavim. He was right to mock that type of rationale. Why? Bishla mahasa midavile liyisrael mishchat ruba velo shachat. Over there, where it would have been possible for the Jew to shech the entire animal to slice all the way through the trachea, but he purposely left some for the Ovid Kachavim to do, that's going to be a pasul l'shechita because the Jew had the ability to shech everything, and he didn't. He let the Ovid Kachavim finish the job. Elohacha michti mishchat shachat mali b'makam nekev, mali pagabo nekev. But over here, whatever is possible to shech, the Jew shechted. So what does it make a difference whether he started off in the first part of the trachea, there was a hole, and then when he sliced the animal, when he took the animal's life, he was physically slicing with a knife? And what difference does it make if at first he was slicing the trachea with a knife, and then ultimately he reached the place where there was a hole? It doesn't make a difference, and it's not like a shechita of an Ovid Kachavim, because by the shechita of an Ovid Kachavim, the guy had the wherewithal to do the shechita himself. Here the point is, whatever he was able to do, he did. So it's going to be a kosher shechita. Okay, says the next mission. Now it gets a little bit easier because it's not quite as technical. So hashochet minatz dadim, if a guy shechts from the sides of the neck. So we had been talking, or what we would envision, when a person is shechting an animal, he's shechting an animal approaching it from the front of the neck. What happens if the guy shechts from the sides of the neck? Says the Mishnah, shechitaso ksheira. His shechita is going to be kosher, and Rashi points out, ksheira vafilu lechatchila, that is even kosher lechatchila. And Rashi points out the reason that we use a lashon that signifies b'di'evet, because it says shechitaso ksheira, or hashochet, shechitaso ksheira, it's a lashon of b'di'evet. The only reason why we use that lashon is because we're going to talk about if a guy shechts like this, it's kosher, but if a guy does malika like this, it's going to be pasul. However, as Rashi points out, it's kosher even lechatchila. So hashochem in atzodem shechitaso ksheira, person shechts on the side of the neck, shechita is going to be kosher. Hamolek minat stadin, if a person does malika on the sides of the neck, malikaso psula, the malika is going to be pasul. Why? Because anything on the side of the neck is like the front, and a malika is only kosher if it's done on the back of the neck. It has to be on the place of the bird that's called mimul oref, on the back of the neck, and therefore if you do it on the sides, it's going to be pasul. Hashochet mina oref. Now the Mishnah continues, if you shecht on the back of the neck, shechita so psula, the shechita is going to be pasul. Hamolek mina oref, if a person does malik on the back of the neck, malika so ksheira, then the malika is going to be kosher. And again, over here, Rashi points out, it doesn't mean that the malika is going to be kosher, but the evidence means that the malika is going to be kosher lechatchila, and we use the same lashon in the Mishnah simply for symmetry's sake. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Vayter, Ashochet minat savar, if a person shechts minat savar, shechitaso ksheira, and over here again, even though it's a lashon of b'di'evet, obviously this is a lechatchila, because you're shechting from the front of the neck like you're supposed to. And now the Mishnah says again, Amolik minat savar, malikaso psula. However, let's say you do malika from the front of the neck, that's going to be pasul. Why? Shekala orev kosher malika. All of the back of the neck is kosher for malika, b'chalat savar, and all of the front of the neck, including the sides, kosher l'shchita is kosher for shchita. Nimtza, so the Mishnah sums up, kosher b'shchita, posel b'malika, kosher b'malika, posel b'shchita. What's kosher for shchita is not good for malika. What's good for malika is not kosher for shchita. Says the Gemara. The Mishnah is very repetitive. It says like the same halacha like four times, but we're using language and we're making an assumption as to what that language means. That the shechita has to be from the tzavar and the malika has to be from the oref. So we've been translating oref as the back of the neck, but says the Gemara, how do I know that oref is actually the back of the neck? So my oref, so what does that mean? Ile ma oref mamish, if it means the back of the head, so oref means literally the back of the skull, my Irish shochet afilu molek nami. Why are we saying that if a guy shechts in the back of the skull, that's going to be pasul? Even if you do malika on the back of the skull, that's going to be pasul, because malika can't be on the back of the head, it's got to be on the back of the neck. So afilu molek nami, mimul orpo amrachmana. It says that which faces the oref, and what faces the oref, it's beneath the oref, it's on the back of the neck. Velo orpo, and it's not orpo mamish, elamai oref, so says the Gemara, you're right, when it says oref in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean the back of the head mamish, it means mimul orpo, it means the back of the neck. Kediktani seifa, as we say in the seifa, kola oref kosher lamalika. It says that all of the oref is that all of the oref is kosher for malika, and that all of the oref is kosher malika. And Rashi points out vibo ref mamish, and if it really meant the oref, the back of the head, my kala oref, what does it mean kala oref? Are davar muatu elish mamina mul orpo kamarshu arach. So in other words, in a bird, the head is very, very small. The neck of the bird is much larger. So why would the Mishnah tell me that kol oref is kosher malika? The entire place of the oref is kosher for malika. It's mashma that we're talking, that we're describing the part of an animal that anatomically, the part of the bird that anatomically is very big. But that's not true. The part, the oref, the back of the head on a bird is very, very tiny because a bird's head is tiny. So when we say kol oref, it's mashma that something that's in a larger space is going to be kosher. And what's that? That's the back of the neck of the bird. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili. How do I know this? It's on Rabbanan, because we have a brisa. Mimul orpo. What does mimul orpo mean? Mul haroa esa oref. It means the mul, the place that sees the oref. What sees the back of the head? That's the back of the neck, which is on the same side of the bird, but not quite the back of the head. V'cheinu omer v'hu yoshev mimuli. And so too, when it says in the pasuk, v'hu yoshev mimuli, that he's sitting within view. That mula oref means something that's in view of the oref. The omer, and it says further, kipano elai oref, that he turned the back of the head to me velopnim, and not his face. So my v'omer, so why do we need all these psukim? Why do we say v'omer? So v'chitei ma'oref gufei lo yadinan hecha denadale muldidei hecha, tashma kipanu elai oref v'loponim echlal d'orech la'veponim. So why do we need this second pasuk? Because lest you think that the first pasuk just says mimuli, that the first pasuk tells us what mimul means, but I still don't know what oref means, so you're telling me that the shechita's got to be in the place that's mimul oref, but I don't know what an oref is. Comes along the second pasuk, and the second pasuk makes a juxtaposition between oref and the front of the head, between oref and panim. So if panim means the front of the head, oref means the back of the head, and mimul oref, that which is in view of the back of the head, is actually the back of the neck. So the back of the neck is the place that's kosher for malika, the back of the head is pasul, the front of the neck is the place that is kosher for shechita. We'll stop here, we'll pick up tomorrow, God willing, getting very in-depth into the procedure for malika.